Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fourth and Wine. And we are going to talk, obviously, all things Eagles and get into a new bottle of wine that I haven't tried yet. We'll talk a little bit about how the offseason has been going and some new things that have dropped today, some new information. So keep listening. You are checking out Fourth and Wine. All right, so first, let's start with this wine, which I didn't open before recording, but that's okay. I normally do that. So we are going to be trying today a wine from Argentina, a Malbec from 2023. It is called Eccentric. The grapes were harvested in 2023. A Malbec, if you didn't know, is a red wine. So let's get into it. Let's open it up. I'm excited to taste it. I'm not really going to give, like, a review because I think, you know, wine is preference. I will tell you what it looks like, how it smells, and give you some info on it. But you got to try things yourself if you really want to know. I'm spilling this already. Ah. Anyway, so this brand, Eccentric, which I like the name, which is why I picked it out. The definition of eccentric, according to Merriam-Webster, you know, I gotta cite my references. It is a person who behaves in odd or unusual ways. And hell, if that ain't what Eagles fans are, odd and unusual, two things to describe them. When it comes to our team, and we down at the link having a good time. You know, you might see some eccentric people down there, you know. Game day can get a little weird. So if you ever see me out there tailgating and have a good time, just say hello. But don't judge. But some things that I learned about the Malbec wine in Argentina, which is in South America, is known for Malbecs. They produce a lot of wine in Argentina and have learned to do it well over the last few years. So since the early 2000s, Argentina has been killing the wine industry, becoming a reputable player. So the Malbec grape variety originally comes from France, and the word Malbec, which let me again cite my references, which I learned from reading The Wine Bible by Karen McNeil, is that Malbec was a slang term originally. Would y'all believe this? Like, listen to this. So Malbec was a slang term. Mal meaning bad and bec meaning mouth. In French, it was used to describe someone who spoke badly of other people, spoke poorly of other people. How cool is that? So maybe a lot of people, when they drink this, they get the yapping or something. I don't know. I guess that's how that slang term stuck. But the Malbec grape variety was brought to Argentina in the 1830s. Malbec is a deep, rich, dark wine, noir. I think it's le vin noir in French. And it is because, yes, it is black, but it is deep, rich, thick wine. So if you are into that, I would say try yourself a red. Try a Malbec red. If you really like something a little more on the dry side, in my opinion. But a Malbec can go great with, because people always want to know, which do you drink wine, this wine with? A Malbec can go great with a steak, tomato-based pastas and Argentinian food, dishes, grilled meats. But ultimately, pairing is preference. I think I'ma say that. Pairing is preference. Drink it with whatever you want. Drink it alone. I do that. Sometimes I just pour a glass of wine and I just drink it alone. You could drink it with a steak. You could drink it with a bag of chips. Do what feels good in your soul. Enjoy what you enjoy. Okay? So let's smell it. Ooh. It smells oaky. Not even gonna lie. Let's taste. Ooh, I feel that all of my gums, but it fainted pretty quickly. It didn't linger. Usually I feel like when I drink Malbecs or like deep, rich red wines, the tannins and the dryness kind of linger on my gums, my tongue, the roof of my mouth, and it didn't. It faded pretty quickly. But it's good. So if you ever want to try Malbec, you could always go and try this one or anyone. But Argentina is known for Malbec. So maybe pick up something in the Argentina section of the wine store. But this one's pretty good. Eccentric. It says that the winemaker speaks to creatures that live near the vineyard. And these creatures are hot-tempered geese, unhurried cows, okay, and sophisticated llamas. Those are some words used to describe animals. Whoever wrote this, very creative, colorful mind. But let's get into Eagles, okay? A lot has been going on. The NFL draft has happened. Jalen Hurts, I guess, got married, so shout out to him. He's been in Time Magazine, Men's Health Magazine. Stuff has happened with Dallas Goedert, Britton Covey, the White House, y'all. A.J. Brown got engaged. It's so many things that we could talk about. So I'm going to try and keep this one short for y'all since it's just me talking today. But let's start off with what happened today, though. Okay, so the NFL schedule is set to drop on May 14th. But, you know, they had to share the first game of the season, the home opener. And guess who's going to be, well, not the home opener, I guess home opener for us. But the first game of the season. And guess who it is? It's your birds. We are opening the season playing the Cowboys at 8:20, September 4th at the Link. Banner raise. I'm trying to go. Them tickets are high because I am not a season ticket holder. But my fiance said, you know, we are going to a game this season, maybe two, one here and one away. And I want to go to the Cowboys game. The last time we went to a Cowboys game was 2023 season. So it's been a minute, but that game was lit, y'all. Lit. I got them tickets for our anniversary, our 2-year anniversary. And then look, I got a ring the next year. How nice. But anyway, we play the Dallas Cowboys, and I kind of understand why. So if you follow me on TikTok or Instagram, you already saw my post about this. But the Eagles, the NFL knows, and this country and NFL watchers, football fans love the Cowboys. I don't fully grasp why they love the Cowboys so much. Haven't won much of anything in 30 years, but love the Cowboys, and they always bring in the viewership. So, I mean, that's pretty easy to pick. You got to have the Cowboys. We play them twice a year. It's always a good rivalry. Throw it on the board. let it be your season opener. Super Bowl champs and their biggest rival in the NFC East and maybe in, honestly, in the entire NFL, moneymaker. We gonna be there with bells and whistles on, okay? Screaming and shouting. But also, a lot of things about the Cowboys, it'll be interesting to see after this offseason training camp, Jalen Hurts and Dak playing each other. I feel like it's only happened, like they haven't done so too often. I believe maybe 2-3 times in their career they've actually played each other. And that's insane because we play them twice a season. And then also they just acquired George Pickens. You know, it'll be nice to see what Jerry down there doing in Jerry World and, you know, who makes the roster at the end of the season. And same for us. So I'm excited. It'll definitely bring in the viewership. Eagles fans, as I said, are always passionate. And Cowboys fans, delusional. But it brings in the coin. And that's what the NFL wants, the coin. But in other news, speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, let's talk a little bit about Dallas Goedert. The only Dallas we acknowledge is Goddard. That's a whole reference if you ain't know. But see, some of y'all probably ain't get that. But there was so much around Dallas Goedert this offseason talking about trade talks. Is he going to be traded during draft season? But nothing came of it. Nothing. So I don't know. I'm not an Eagles insider, but I personally think the Eagles were asking for a lot for Dallas Goedert and wasn't really getting that in return. So Dallas Goedert got a deal done with the Eagles. They reworked his contract and he is now taking less money. Don't get me wrong, though. I think football players and specifically also just Dallas Goedert, you know, get your coin, honestly. If he could have found that somewhere else, I wouldn't have been mad at him for taking that deal and moving on. You got to get the money where you could get the money. But also, I know winning matters. Like, I want to win. I don't want to be in a dying organization, not doing well, where people don't know how to let go of the reins a little bit. And it's just being ran into the ground. So he reworked the deal and he will be back next season. And I think Dallas, honestly, is a great player, but he might not have gotten what he wanted and we might not have been able to make the trade if that was a thing because he is a bit injury prone. Now, if I look at it subjectively, I could say like he is always injured. But the facts are that he's injured 80% of the time during regular season games. Or he has missed. He has played 80% of regular season games. And like when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound horrible. But compared to some of the top tight ends in the league, so like Travis Kelce, who's older, played more seasons, he averages 14 games a season while Dallas Goedert averages about 13 games per season play regular season. And George Kittle, if we want to talk about him, like he averages over 14 games a season. So like in comparison to some of the top talent in the NFL, he's missing a game every season. He's been injured almost every season that I can remember. And this is me being subjective. But with his new rework deal and him taking a little bit less, it shows how we dumped a lot of money into this offense. Jalen, he already paid, got AJ Brown and Devontae out the way last season. He also paid Saquon, which he didn't even have to do, I feel like. But Howie is good for paying people early because if you pay attention to anything at all, the longer you wait, the more money you got to pay these people. Like these guys, because I would do it. these guys sit here and they like, okay, well, let's wait it out. You know, let's wait, see when I get my contract. Ball on the Giants, get a check, and you're like, I'm definitely better than him, so I definitely deserve more money than that. See, now you got yourself in a little sticky situation if you're a GM. Holding out doesn't always work out, and Jerry Jones could probably attest to that for you. He can give you a testimony that holding out does not work. You end up paying them a significant amount of money the longer you hold out. But Dallas is coming back. Calcaterra will likely be the number two. And honestly, I think Calcaterra, I don't think he could carry this team on his own if Dallas didn't come back. But I will say that people do sleep on him. Him and Jalen, to me, have a really good chemistry. And at times, their chemistry seemed to be flowing a lot better on the field compared to Dallas and Jalen. But hey, now let's talk about, I feel like I didn't talk about this. Like, I have been gone for too long. The NFL draft, which was 800 weeks ago, it seems at this point. And honestly, part was only like three. But, you know, the Eagles, they did what they needed to do. Howie went, got out, got some players. In the first round, we picked up Jahad Campbell, linebacker from Alabama, which was a position we needed. I mean, just to get some depth in that area. And Jahad Campbell is versatile. Now, he, you know, we were able to trade up for him, and we picked, he landed, and supposedly he was one of their top guys on the board. But it is said that he has some concerns with injuries. And let's be real, though. If injury was a huge concern for the Eagles, he wouldn't be on the team. Like, if it was that serious, he wouldn't have made the team. So, things about Jahad that I have learned over the last few weeks. He plays edge. He plays as a back. He can fill in where N'Kobe Dean played, considering N'Kobe. I love watching N'Kobe grow and develop and just become like this boss this season. But N'Kobe suffered a torn tendon. It's just like him coming back from that injury. It just leaves some things up to question. And you need to make sure your defense is going to be tight. Because after last season, winning the Super Bowl and being number one defense in the league, you can't go back to 2023 where you was bottom of the barrel. So you got to make sure you are set with whatever might come your way, injuries, you got to have some depth there. Also in round two, they picked up Andrew Mabuka, a safety from Texas. He led the SEC with 5 interceptions last season, and his role would replace, I mean, a vet, but it would be CJ GJ's fill-in replacement. But he's going to compete for his spot just like everyone else. Sidney Brown has the opportunity to really step up. Reed is already pretty much like locked in for sure, but Sidney Brown has the opportunity, but this guy gives Sidney, you know, a little bit of competition. A little competition ain't never hurt nobody. So he's going to join a DB room with Quinyon, Coop, all the Sidney, Keely Ringo. So I'm excited to see how that DB room shakes out and see how they perform in minicamp and training camp. Round four, they picked up Ty Robinson, defensive tackle from Nebraska, and he comes in to mix in and, you know, switch out with Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and he's a good addition since we lost Milton Williams to the Patriots. He'll be a good guy in that rotation. They love rotating those guys out. And with Milton Williams gone, and I'm not sure if Jordan Davis can step up to play as many snaps as Milton. So it'll be good to have this guy to kind of switch out. Mack Williams, cornerback from Central Florida, with Slay, Isaiah Rodgers gone. You need a corner there. Now, granted, you've got Quinyon, you've got Coop, you know, you've got those guys. Can Keeley win a spot? Who knows? But it's good to have more competition. The more guys you can add to that room, the better. Drew Kendall from Boston Center, from Boston College. Child, truthfully, I don't know. Don't ask me nothing about a center. Like, I don't know. But, you know, I guess this is good. They love calling that offensive line. Not they, we love calling that offensive line Stoutland University. So, you know, you come in, little freshman, first day of class, syllabus week, learn, grow, like a little mini farm system over there, like in baseball. But then they drafted a quarterback from Syracuse, the Big Orange. You know, he can duke it out with Tanner McKee for the spot. Maybe he'll make the practice squad. Kyle McCord. Miles Hinton, offensive tackle from Michigan. Another Stoutland University. Cameron Williams, tackle from Texas. I guess he can eventually be a replacement and, like, learn and grow underneath Lane Johnson, who signed an extension also this past offseason. So Lane is here through 2027. And I think he like my age. And that's considered old in football world, being my age. That's crazy. Antoine Powell, Ryland, an edge from Virginia Tech. Just more competition. With Josh Sweat being out, and that edge room has been a little in. Even with Josh Sweat being here, I think the edge position on the Eagles has been a little inconsistent. So adding some flavor and some mix there. Bryce Huff is here. I think it'll be good for the Eagles. We need some consistency at that position. So I'm excited to see how that goes in this past offseason and what Vic Fangio has up his sleeve. But in other news with the draft, let's talk a little bit about our rivals, our competitors. I don't got too much to say, but I got something to say. The Commanders, we already know they down there building. Who got that team? Magic Johnson? Shaq? I think Magic Johnson, I don't know who in that group, but it's Josh Harris. He done left our sixes for dead. We didn't even make the playoffs this year. Like, how sad is that? Basketball is going on right now, and I'm telling you, I am so disinterested. The Sixers aren't there. Like, what is this? The ghetto, child. Like, why aren't we there? But the Commanders, they down there working. They not worried. And they trying to redo the stadium and all this other stuff. Josh Harris, he ain't worried about them Sixers. Mm-mm. No, he ain't. That's why we falling apart. How depressing. But they are prioritizing down there. They are prioritizing the line to protect Jalen Daniels. They drafted a guy. Dang. Who was it? I'll have to look that up. But they have drafted some O linemen and a corner to line up. They drafted a corner to line up against Devontae and AJ. We'll see how that goes. Drafted a corner also to line up against CD and Malik Nabers, to be honest. Oh, and now George Pickens, because the NFC East is building their wide receivers, okay? I feel like the AFC is like big on wide receivers, flashiness, and big plays and all that kind of stuff. And the NFC East seemed a little late to the party. Not us, but they seemed a little late to the party. But we, you know, the NFC East is building something here when it comes to wide receivers. So the Commanders see that and they got themselves a corner. But the biggest draft of all, I think, in the NFC East was the one of Abdul Carter. My guy from the P, he's not from the P, he is from Philly. Abdul Carter, he's an edge for Penn State, drafted by the Giants. You know, he was an Eagles fan. He was probably at the parading with us, having a good time. But, you know, now he is a Giant. But this is good for them. The Giants need everything. They need everything. They got Malik Nabers, which is great. They signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston as his backup. So they'll be able to hopefully build a quarterback room with some veteran experience there. But I think can't sleep on them just yet. Do I think the Eagles can take them? For sure. But I also am very unsure about this defense. Too many guys that I knew what they could do have left the building. And I'm interested to see how the defense shapes up because, as we know, defense wins you championships. But the Giants drafting Abdul Carter, the edge, I think, you know, that could give Jalen and that O-line a run for their money. He's young. He seemed eager. But we still got those guys. We still got best line in the league. So you need something, I guess, to go against us. Another one, the Cowboys in the first round drafted Tyler Booker, a guard. And, you know, the Cowboys, to me, they've got so much money. Sometimes I just don't know, like, what. Like, it's hard to guess what the Cowboys are going to do. I guess they aren't predictable. And I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. But it don't seem good. Granted, Tyler Booker is a great pick for them. A lot of potential there. I think the Cowboys are a good team. It's just something about it ain't clicking. And that team keeps staying the same. If it ain't clicking, it don't click. I don't care if you've got all of these great players on paper. If they don't click together and they're not winning you anything, like, maybe it's time to adjust. But last but not least, and they're not in the NFC, but I just thought we should mention this, you know, because I thought the Eagles were going to go for this guy. But he got picked up. Malachi Starks, who is a safety from Georgia, I for sure thought the Eagles were going to go safety in the first round. Or safety linebacker. Yeah, those were the two. I think there was probably one other position I thought they were interested in. But either way, safety or linebacker, and we got our linebacker. But I definitely thought Malachi was on the board for the Eagles to pick, especially in the first round. But he went to the Baltimore Ravens, not them trying to beat us. The Baltimore Ravens trying to become a mini Georgia. They picked the Georgia player. They know that's our thing. We got the Bulldogs here. But it was nice to watch the NFL draft and cool seeing those guys like get opportunity. Honestly, I'm always down for guys getting the opportunity and being able to get money and just progress in their life, career, because making the NFL, like, it's not that many guys in the NFL. I don't care what anybody say. That is a testament to hard work and all that. So, like, I commend athletes, honestly, a lot. But moving along, I guess we could talk a little bit about Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts was named Time's Most Influential People. Shout out to him. He's such a stoic person. And that's probably just with us because we are the public and, you know, you got to keep a certain image up. But Jalen Hurts is everywhere right now and nowhere at all. Like, I feel like he is still like this mysterious figure. But Derek Jeter wrote his Time piece about him and how he overcomes adversity, yada, yada, yada. And people eat that up in the nicest way possible. And this isn't Jalen related, but in the nicest way possible, people eat up an adversity story. Especially when it comes to like young black athletes overcoming adversity and things like that, rag to riches, they struggle, da da da. you can't really be an athlete to come from something, because the rags to riches story is a whole lot better for public consumption. Can't be confident. Your parents can't have set you up to do well. And you just work hard. Nepotism can't be a thing. And I'll just say Bronny and Shedeur Sanders. And I'm going to leave it at that. You can't be confident. You can't know what you want. You should be humble and grateful. And don't get me wrong, I think all of those things are definitely necessary. Be humble, be grateful, no matter how much money you make and all those things. But you gotta be a certain way sometimes. And yeah, sometimes you just don't fit the mold when you come from a family that's like, no, I want my seat at the table. This is what I want. It's unheard of. But anyway, Jalen also was at the Met Gala. I said he was in the Time Magazine. He was at the Met Gala, like legit everywhere. And with his wife. At the Met. Like, you know, they understood the assignment. They came with their black dandyism, looking good, looking nice, looking beautiful, especially for first timers at the Met Gala. And, you know, but Jalen and these Kangols, child. Jalen and these Kangol hats, is Kangol giving him a deal? Or does he have a deal with Kangol? And I don't know about it. Because one thing he going to do is rock a backwards Kangol. That's one thing he gonna do. But speaking of Jalen being everywhere, Jalen was definitely everywhere, but not at that White House. So it was a lot of players that did not make the appearance at the White House. Jalen, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Isaiah Rogers, C.J. G.J., Zach Bond, N'Kobe Dean, Jalix Hunt, Josh Sweat, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., you know, and they weren't there. Ultimately, was I surprised, or I don't know if I even cared who went, but it wasn't mandatory, so they got to choose whether or not they wanted to go, and some chose to go and some didn't. And that is fine. That is fine. I'm gonna just sip my wine. People could choose whether or not they wanted to go, and some players chose not to. I just don't get the uproar about the players who didn't go. Like, it's not that deep. If they don't want to go, like, just if they do not agree with something, or they feel like something doesn't align with who they are, they don't gotta deal with that. Just like, if they wanted to go, the people who went, and that's okay too. I just don't get the anger around either or. Like, who cares? But also, notably, I would like to say that the people who did not attend, a few of them have actually already been to the White House before. They played for Georgia and have won championships and got to go to the White House. They played for Alabama and been to the White House already. I'm pretty sure Jalen and Devontae Smith have already been to the White House. Like, this isn't like, it's not new to them. It's not a thing to them. Like, been there, done that. Don't care. I will say I peeped, though, that Howie was there with his blue pen. You know, and I was feeling that. It was the Stand Up to Jewish Hate pen. And you know, I probably read too much into it. But I read it, you know, as a protest to stand up to Jewish hate. And that could have meant absolutely nothing. He could have just been wearing a pin because he always wears a pin. But yeah, that was my interpretation. But of athletes who were at the White House, one was Britton Covey. Britton Covey was at the White House, and he is no longer an Eagle. The two are not related. And that was just the segue. A lot of people are really hurt by this, and I'm not going to lie. Like, 2 seasons ago, I was like, Britton Covey could go. No shade. I just felt like he could go. We got the one, we got the two, we got the three. Like, it'll be, we will do just fine. We will manage. But, you know, a lot of that wide receiver room, I'm sure, are going to miss him. And I wish him all the success in LA. He got good weather out there. And, yeah, he seems like a nice guy. But, he pretty much was the punt returner. Once Coop came along and Coop became punt returner, then we signed Avery Williams. We already got our 1, 2, and 3 receivers. Last season, he was injured towards the end. It's like, okay, this might be the end of the road with your relationship here. He got his Super Bowl ring, so shout out to him. And moving along. Also, speaking of Britton Covey getting a ring, somebody else got a ring. Kelsey Riley, AJ Brown's now fiance. They got engaged. Shout out to her. Welcome to the club. I'm not going to do that again. But shout out to her. I saw so many posts on TikTok of like the day and all the people that were there. It was just so cute. It was so nice. So shout out to them. Now, something I saw, speaking of AJ Brown, you know, people was talking about the best wide receiver duos. Like, that's been like a thing this offseason. You know, you got to find something to talk about. And the Eagles were, you know, number 5 on Good Morning Football's wide receiver duo list. And I'm going to tell you who made the top 4. Number 1 were the Bengals. So T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Or should I say Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. The Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The Vikings, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. And the Detroit Lions. Oh, I said Detroit instead of Detroit. The Detroit Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. Then it was us, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Let's be all the way for real, though. I just felt like this is disrespect. I felt like this is disrespect to Devontae. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's our number 2, but our number 2 is number 1 on any other team in the NFL. Like, let's be all the way for real. I feel like Devontae can sometimes be overshadowed by AJ Brown because they're both great players. But let's be all the way for real. Don't compare Smitty to none of these number 2s, okay? Don't compare Smitty to Jalen Waddle. And that's not an attack on Jalen Waddle. That sounds harsh. But, like, don't compare Smitty to Jordan Addison. Don't compare him to Jameson. I want to call him Jameis Winston. Like, how irrelevant? In the nicest way possible. And I'm speaking this way. I hate, like, talking down about athletes because I can't do half the stuff they do. And, you know, they make a lot of money. But I'm defending Smitty and AJ Brown all day. And let's be all the way for real with this. Like, don't compare Smitty, no shade, like, really no shade. But don't compare Smitty to any of these number 2s because it just ain't it. He can go toe-to-toe with your 1. Like, let's be all the way for real about that. It's just our team has a lot of offensive pieces. a lot. And sometimes he don't get the opportunity. But don't ever get it twisted. He can go toe for toe, okay? But, you know, the next thing up is the schedule drop. And I was going to wait until after the schedule drop to drop this podcast. But I think I'll just make a quick post about the schedule because, like, meh, who cares? It, like, people always go through and then do those, like, little fun games. Like, it's something fun to do. Don't get me wrong. Where you pick, like, the wins, losses for the season once you see the schedule drop. Yada, yada, yada. Blah, 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 blah. But if we being all the way for real, I don't know who's going to make this team. I don't know who's going to win. Neither do they. I guess you could make an educated guess. But, like, who really knows? Injuries, barring injury, like, that could change things. Who makes the team could change things. Like, so we'll see. We'll see what I decide to say about the schedule drop. The biggest thing of the season was that first game of the NFL season is going to be Eagles, Cowboys at the link, and I'm trying to be in there mixing and shaking. But with that being said, I'll holler at y'all after May 14th, and we could talk a little bit about the schedule, but always tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Until next time. Pour a glass of wine and listen to For the Wine. Peace out, y'all.